And it looks like we are just at the top of the hour here, so let's get things started. Once again, thank you everyone for joining us for today's VA Informatics and Computing Infrastructure Cyber Seminar. Today's session is on Vinci Chart Review, or eHost Annotation Tool. Our presenters today are from Vinci. We have Olga Patterson and Dan Denhalter here presenting today. Olga, Dan, can I turn things over to you?
Thank you. Yes. Just sharing our screen, and I believe you can see it.
We can see it perfectly. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Olga Patterson. I am a researcher at the University of Utah, and also I'm part of the VA in Salt Lake City, specifically in the Vinci group. And today we are going to discuss the topic of chart abstraction, not only tools and services that we provide, but also the idea of chart abstraction. So first we'll describe what chart abstraction is in general, and then the specifics of the workflow that everybody has to be aware of if one is conducting chart review, chart abstraction project. Then we will demonstrate tools and describe you how you can get in touch with us so we can help you with your projects as well. And of course, we'll have some time to answer your questions. So, first of all, chart abstraction, this term is probably familiar to most clinicians under one of these names, chart review or medical record review, chart annotation, but all of these terms refer to the research methodology to collect data for a retrospective study of some kind. And to understand chart abstraction, you have to understand how the original data is collected. So chart abstraction is based on electronic medical record, which is a documentation of clinicians, made by clinicians for the purposes of describing patients. So when a clinician is interacting with a patient or performs some other duties, the mental picture of the patient's state of health is what the clinicians build throughout the interaction. And then that's what gets inserted into the clinical record. It's not necessarily the ground truth or the objective truth. It's the subjective interpretation of the clinician of the current state of what has happened to the patient. So electronic medical record has two parts. It's it contains structured data in forms of tables with specific fields, where each field in the table has a very specific meaning, like a value for a specific vital sign, for example, or a specific lab. Whereas unstructured data is text written by clinicians in text fields or common fields. So structured data is can be queried where the data is stored in tables, and then you can use different tools to access that data directly. But unstructured data, even though it's also stored in a database, it's stored in text fields, and each of these text fields contains a variety of information. It doesn't have a single meaning. So it includes written or dictated notes, but also it includes semi-structured data, for example, a comment field. So it would be a short description of some idea, but still in text format. So most people who have been working with patients would have seen clinical notes, something like this. And the beauty of us working in the VA is that it's one of the largest electronic medical record systems in the world. And there's a Vinci environment, which is VA informatics and computing infrastructure, which contains a corporate data warehouse, CDW, that combines data from all regions of the VA, from all facilities, into one central location, accessible to researchers for use. So every electronic medical record that was created within the VA in the last 20 years, it can be found within the CDW. So it's a wealth of information that can be used for research. And just to illustrate how vast of the amount of data that we have accessible to us is, are these some numbers. There are over 21 million patients records throughout the last over 20 years. So the number of individual data points is tremendous. And specifically, I would like to highlight that there is over 2.5 billion clinical notes that can be used. So chart abstraction can utilize aims to utilize clinical or administrative data that is historical and that was collected for purposes other than the research question. So chart abstraction is not necessarily on text. It can combine. It can be combined with structured data. The reasons to look at text are very many different reasons. First of all, tables, the way structured data is created may be limited in the design that was put in. But text is where actually most of the information is, clinical information is stored, because it's so easy for clinicians to enter what they need to communicate to others. For example, the patient experience is in text, specifics of what happened to the patient that may not follow specific requirements in the forms in the EMR system. Similarly, type of the illness, symptoms or severity may not be coded because none of the available standard codes have all the possibilities in them. So text is used to describe illness and symptoms. Timing of the episodes, the course of the disease is also in text. The treatment course and outcomes as well. And fairly frequently, structured elements may be missing from the database, so they can be extracted from text, identified in text. So the only thing that is not in text is what provider is not specified, and there are fairly large numbers reasons why some information is not communicated in text. And that's the challenge of working with text, is because it's created by clinicians for clinicians. So misspellings and grammars, grammar errors happen, but the main issue is with terminology. It's different from regular text. And abbreviations are frequently used. They may be general, but they may be very specific to the location or even the provider when they're in text. And whatever is not described in the document, there's no way to go back and ask the clinician, what exactly did you mean? So incomplete documentation is common practice that some things are omitted pretty frequently by on purpose by clinician because there's a lot of shared understanding within a specific location maybe that information does not have to be spelled out. But once the document is removed from the local environment and is viewed by people from outside of that environment, the information may not be as easily interpretable. However, we still have very many uses for text and as it's accessible through chart view or chart abstraction. Of course, retrospective clinical research is based on chart abstraction. By looking through the documents, you can determine these very many different variables as patient experiences and the others that I've discussed. So for case control studies, quality control, compliance auditing, even guidance, guideline development, you know, benefits from chart review. One item that is dear to me because I am in natural language processing is the reference standard creation for natural language processing, for computerized text processing. The way we approach chart abstraction is through annotations. An annotation is a specific meaning assigned to a piece of data, either part of text or a cell in a database if you're combining it with, if you're combining chart review with structured data and unstructured. An annotation contains, first of all, a pointer where exactly that piece of information starts and finishes in text, which is called a span. A span of text is the two indices from the start to the end of the text within the text document. And then, of course, the label or class of the information so that the meaning, the specific meaning, in combination with the attribute for that label. Annotations can be generated by humans or machines like NLP, natural language processing, but also in combination of human and machine. For example, if our whole note is the CXR shows LLL consolidation, then the finding would be LLL consolidation, and this particular piece of information starts on character 15 and spans till character 31. So this is the explanation of annotation. We will refer to the term annotation pretty frequently in this presentation. When we conduct an annotation project, which is a chart review project where we aiming to identify annotations, we follow these seven steps. And I'm going to describe each one of them. First of all, we need to define the concept in a variable that we are trying to extract. Concept is a general idea, more or less general idea of what you're looking for. For example, a specific diagnosis. Say, I want to find patients with pneumonia, for example. But then when you define the variable, you have to describe what exactly you're looking for when you're looking for pneumonia. Are we looking for something that is explicitly mentioned in a document, or we're looking to review all the data in the document and infer that the patient had pneumonia? So depending on how you define your concepts and variables, the complexity of your abstraction project increases, or it varies. It depends on that. So here are some examples of concepts and variables. For example, if the concept is bowel preparation, the way you define your variable, you have to specify that we're looking only for explicitly stated quality of bowel preparation. And we're specifically looking at in colonoscopy reports. And once we find it, we want to be able to group it in excellent, good, fair, poor, inadequate, regardless of what exactly the document states. For example, if a note says prep was optimal, optimal would map to excellent. So then the range of values is predefined, and we label text with a specific value of the specific meaning. We assign a very specific meaning. So when we prepare these tables, well, it depends how you describe, but I like using these tables of defining concept and variable. We have to be quite explicit in what exactly we're looking for. Here is an example. We're looking for anemia, patients with anemia, so we need to find what anemia was in the mentioned in a document. And if we specify that we're looking for any evidence of anemia in any clinical note, it doesn't provide enough information to estimate the complexity of this task. So you have to be more explicit. What exactly is anemia? How do you define anemia? And where exactly are you looking for it? So here's a better example of definition of anemia. Anchoring it on a specific ICD-9 code, for example, and also specifying what you don't consider as the concept of interest. Non-specified anemia would not be in this example. Once you figure out what you want to do, you need to select a tool, an annotation tool, that would be assisting humans in performing this project. I want to make you aware that there are very many different tools available, we will focus on only two, Chart Review and eHost, because they are available on Vinci, but they are not the only ones, and if you know of other tools, you may just simply load them to Vinci and use them within the environment, or you can use the ones that are provided already. And we will describe these tools and demo them in more detail a little later in this presentation. Once you know what you're going to use as a tool, you will need to select the documents for annotation and different pieces of information that you want to include in this abstraction project. There, CDW, as I was showing earlier, is vast. There are very many different data elements that can be used, but the documents or notes of unstructured data is mostly located in the TIU document package. There are also radiology notes package and other packages and data tables contain comment and short text field that also can be used. But you also can include other sources depending on the requirements of your project. The question of sample size in document selection is a very important one. The standard formula of determining sample size may not be applicable to selecting documents for annotation. I'm presenting this standard table that is widely published on approximate number of data points to be reviewed in order to achieve a certain level of confidence with your findings. However, I want to point out that it relies on the expected proportion of a specific value of a specific data point, and that information may not be available to you ahead of time. So you will find that fairly frequently the number of documents to be reviewed is more of a convenience sample. You go until you reach either your funding runs out or you reach a certain level of confidence that what you found is describes your variables properly. So this question is open. There is no hard rule of how many documents need to be reviewed. Once you know your tool and know which variables you are selecting, you need to develop a notation guideline, which is a formal step-by-step description of what needs to be done to achieve your goals. Examples are vital in this document because it communicates to the people who are going to be doing the work what exactly is expected from them. And as you define the guidelines, you define the annotation schema, which is a set of classes and attributes and relationships between classes that come into play within the project. The selection of people who do annotation, which are called annotators, is a task that depends on the complexity of the project. Sometimes domain expertise is not required if the concepts that to be extracted are straightforward. However, if inference has to be done, then more qualified domain experts would need to be employed. The common project annotation project follows one of the two workflows. Either a single person annotates each of the records, or there's double annotation with adjudication at the end. In the case of the first approach, typically you have to calculate annotation quality. Is if you employ multiple people and each one of them reviews a record separately, so no one record is reviewed by two annotators, then you would have to perform first a pilot study where inter-rater agreement is measured, and once it's achieved a respectable level, then the annotators can continue their work separately. But in case of adjudication, then this step is not as important, because then the ground truth is achieved by coming to a consensus between the annotators. We are part of Vinci Services team, as which provides other services, but specifically we are dealing with annotation and chart review. And the range of services that we provide is vast, so from basic education and training, similar to what we are performing right now, to the full abstraction project where we are involved in the project from the beginning to the end, guideline development, and managing the annotators as they perform their work. So again, if you are looking to perform a chart abstraction project, you may email to Vinci Services and describe your project, and it will be triaged to us. And right now, we want to show you two of our tools that we use frequently, and Dan Denhalter is our clinical annotation manager. Over.
Good afternoon. I'd like to, in attempt to try to show you all the aspects of this tool, I'm going to be jumping around. Inside the slides, there are a few screenshots of different aspects where you can see the tool and be able to reference back to it. But for the purposes of this demo, I'm going to be jumping around through a few different programs so that you can see the actual tool in functionality. All the information that will be shared, it has no patient information, so there's no worries about that. It's all synthetic. But before we start, I'd like to bring up a guideline to show you that what the aspects of what we're looking for is contained in. So just one moment here. So this is a guideline that I'm using. It right here in the beginning of the guideline, it shows some of the information regarding the individuals. I have to give a little bit of credit to Brett South for this guideline. He created a lot of the initial portions of this, and then I changed it slightly to be used for training in all the different aspects of annotation. This tool, this guideline allows us to take the schema as Olga has presented and write it out and create examples and directions for the annotators so that there's no confusion to try to mitigate any chance of disagreement between multiple annotators or between the outcomes that you're looking for. This first page just shows a brief description of what the project is that we are looking for. And then continuing down here, we start to expand into each of the individual areas of annotation that we'll be completing. In this example, we're going to be looking for exam finding, neurovascular anatomy, and sightedness. We have examples of what we're supposed to capture and also what words are involved in the inclusion criteria and what examples are involved in the exclusion criteria so that we can get the best possible outcome. And this is kind of an example here where we would capture the word left and internal carotid, and then examples of that, of things that we would not want to, are prepositional phrases and articles within the span, like the word of or the word the. And this is all very specific to what the primary investigators and the research group is trying to achieve through the annotation that we're working on. And this is very unique for every individual research project. And that's one of the reasons why we offer our services, is to help in, since we have experience with this, is to help classify and to help give direction on what should go into an annotation project to create the best bounds possible. So I'd like to show you eHost first. eHost is a simpler program than ChartReview. It has a lot of strengths, and let me go through the strengths with you for a moment here. eHost is text-based, and it is a very easy setup since it only involves Java, which is installed onto your own machine, and the program itself runs independent of any other system. So it sits within your machine, and it uses text files, and then it writes into an XML file, and then the output is also very simple to understand. And as we go into it, I'll also go through some of the benefits of ChartReview, a tool that we've worked on and developed. But this right here is a window or an example of eHost. Now, one of the benefits to eHost right here, you can see that these are all the text files that are involved in this project, and they are all just very simple text files. As I click through some of these, you'll see that there's not a whole lot to these. They just don't have any meaning. And like Olga was explaining earlier, our task here is to give labels to these spans of text to be able to have meaning within these documents. So looking at this first one, off on our left side here, this is our schema. This is the part of the tool that refers back to the guideline. Right here we have an example of each one of them. We color code it for ease, and that's about the only intention of the color code. But it also kind of, we also have multiple levels here. So this part of the schema, the center part is the document viewer. And this part on the right shows the different annotations and the information regarding that annotation. To show you how simple it is to do an annotation, all we do is just highlight the piece of information, a pop-up window shows up, and we select what portion that belongs to. For example here, we're just going to put sightedness on this one. And that will grab this piece of information. If you look down here, Olga touched on the word span. And in this document, you can see right here, this box says the span is from 83 to 86. And that's the exact word that we're capturing within this document. If I click on a different item, like carotids, that shows you that the span is 18 to 26. And this is important because that gives that piece of text within the document meaning. And so we now know that those words or that those characters now mean what we're trying to give it a label to. And this is extremely important for the work that Olga does in natural language processing, because this allows her to develop a pipeline or more information that allows her to run this information through a larger set of notes based off of the information that we capture within this note. And so looking at this a little bit deeper, after we've captured this span of text, we can give it a label. In this case, we have neurovascular anatomy. Let me show you another one. If I click on right, just another example, we have this span that's captured with the classification of sightedness. Now, if we jump down here to this attribute window, the positive side of this is not only can we give it a classification, but we also have attributes and values. In this case, we have an option to give it a bilateral or a unilateral attribute with an appropriate value, or an option in this case, to specify which side we're talking about. So by clicking done here, now what I've told the machine is that this span of text means that it is the right side, or a unilateral right side. The other thing that this tool has the ability to do is create relationships. Now, a relationship is another attribute that allows you to link two different captured classifications or two different captured pieces of text to each other so that they have a relationship. In this case, we want to capture the word write and ICA, and we want them to link together. So now I know that this ICA is on the right side. And so that gives us this whole this phrase that now we know even more information, and all of this can be outputted in this, what used to be meaningless text, now has meaning. And we can use this in the future to look for these keywords or to run statistical information off of to give more meaning to other meaningless text that might be out there, or other report text that we might need to capture the information based off of. As Olga touched briefly earlier, the text that exists here can have a lot of information that might not be able to be usable at the point because it doesn't have any way to filter or to be structured, and there's no way to relate pieces of information to each other until we give it annotation. Once we give it annotations, we can now do a lot more with the information that used to be just a blurb or a small piece of text without any meaning. So this right here, this is an example. This is eHost again, just to let you guys know. And you can, again, this is text-based. It runs through Java on your own machine. We can also deploy it within the benching environment so that it can utilize the secured data. But the information does need to be in text format for it to work within the system. The other thing is that it is also based off of a schema. And the schema is something that you have to design within the tool and then copy into each of the different areas that you're going to work. The next tool that I'd like to show you is Chart Review. This is Chart Review. Chart Review has a lot of strengths that eHost doesn't have. The strengths involve it is based off of SQL databases. It has a lot of levels of annotation that you can do on multiple levels of notes, which we'll talk about in a moment. It also has the ability to track progress and to generate reports that eHost doesn't have the power to do. In addition to all of that, the information that is produced from Chart Review goes into databases instead of just an output file. Instead of just being XML, this writes back into a database within the secure database, whether it's in Vinci or within the Vinci environment. And the power behind that is now that it's written into a database, you can do all of the things imaginable through that database and through whatever tools that you implement to run statistics or to produce, in Olga's case, a natural language pipeline that you need to do, and it's all already within those databases. So to kind of give you an example of how this tool works, some of the things that are necessary to making this project or this tool work, the first one is understanding what the word clinical element configuration means. Now, this tool uses language and information that are fairly unique to Chart Review. However, as long as another tool uses the simple rules that are implemented within Chart Review, they're actually very compliant and can easily be used together. Clinical element configuration is a piece of information in the health record that we pull into a Chart Review. Let me give you an example. A lab would be an example of a clinical element configuration. If it has a table associated with it where the information is located, like a lab's table, we can pull that information into a view within Chart Review, and that would be known as a clinical element configuration. Another example of a clinical element configuration would be a patient summary where demographics might be located. As long as it has a unique table with unique identifiers associated with it, that item can easily be displayed within Chart Review within its own separate section that allows it to have that strength to be able to show that information. Now, again, this doesn't seem as simple as eHost because eHost is just using these simple text files. But the strength here comes from being able to see structured and unstructured data within the Chart Review. Now, the question comes is, what would be the benefit of seeing structured data? But a lot of times when we're doing these chart reviews or these abstractions, it's important to see what other information is contained within the patient records to make any type of determination. If a doctor is trying to see whether or not best practice was followed, it might be beneficial to see the structured elements like lab values in addition to report text to help make that determination and to make that annotation for that patient. So again, this has a lot of strength here. And one more time in review, a clinical element is a unique piece of information to a patient within a certain realm, and that can be anything from lab procedures, report text, a patient summary, questions, and we'll go through and I'll give you a visual demonstration of what these elements look like. But I'd also like to show you what goes into creating an element so that if you come to us with a project, these are some of the pieces of information that we need from you. If you look at this item right here, the breaking this apart, we have a name, description, and these are some key title fields that we understand, but the important thing is we need two different SQL queries that pull information. The first SQL query pulls information into a grid, and that will be every piece of information that you want displayed on that patient within that clinical element configuration. This can be date, time references, document SIDs, patient social security numbers that all populate within to a table. The second query is the single element query, and this is now that you have all the elements pulled in, now we want to say, well, if only one of those elements were to be displayed, what would be the query for that? And that's what the second query is for. The question mark, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute here too, but the question mark is where that one key piece of information can be brought in to display that information for that unique patient. And I'll explain that a little bit more in detail here. So continuing on here, just with the setup of the project, the other important thing is to, this part right here, is it has to connect to a secure Vinci database. And that address goes into this section right here. Then after you have the database created and you have the elements created and you have the schema created within the program, the next phase is to create a process. Now a process is what patients you want to review in those clinical elements that you have just created. Again, a clinical element is that unique piece of information that you want, that grouping of information, everything from a lab value to a case list to a population graphic, whatever you want to display for that patient needs to be selected here. And here's a list of all of the clinical element configurations that we want to display. So after you've selected this part, the next part is to create a query that pulls the list of patients that you want to have in this task, the list of patients within the database that you want to review. And the important part here is that this ID must be unique. And this example is kind of a poor example where it shows only one ID, but this would stop at select ID from whatever patient list you have. And it's an open-ended statement where you have the multiple patients from that one table. Okay, so enough with the project setup stuff. Let's go ahead and actually look at the actual project, so or the actual user interface that you'll be using. So once you log into Chart Review, you can click on this. You click on your project and click on the process that you're associated with. You'll only be able to see the processes that you are added to and the projects that you are added to. And then you would click on Get Next Assignment. But since I already have it open, I'm going to just click on this task ID. And this is Chart Review. As you can see here, I'm going to walk you through a few different parts of this. The screens are very customizable, and the views are easy to use. We talked about another part that is the strength of chart review. And one of the strongest parts of chart review is within eHost, you only have the ability to annotate text within a document. Chart review also has that ability, but it has more. The additional ability is you can also annotate at a document level, or even more powerful, at a patient level. And what that gives us is that if you wanted to give a patient a condition or status or any piece of text that you wanted to always have associated with that patient information, you can annotate at that patient. Or say you wanted to classify a document as a pathology report. You can also do that. So the strength here lies in being able to annotate on three levels: patient level, document level, and then text within the document. So if you look here, this is a quick little summary of the task and the description and everything that we're trying to achieve here. This next window here is the annotation window. This shows you all the annotations that we have currently annotated, and you can click on it and it will take you to that annotation and we can review it. This first window is a clinical element configuration, this public health patient. This is a patient summary. This next one is also a clinical element configuration. This is public health case, which displays a summary of the clinical visit. If we continue down the page just a little bit, this also is a clinical element configuration, a public health lab, which displays all of the patient's individual labs. And again, you can reshape and size the screen as much as you would like by clicking on it once right here. I'll show you an example. This is the grid that I was talking about in the clinical element, and then it pulls the single element over to the side, and in this case, it's hematology. Now, again, this is an example of a piece of information that is in structured data. This is already structured, and we already know the format that it looks at, but the strength comes is not only now is this part of the review process that you're going through, but if there's individual information within that note, you can also give it additional context. Say, for instance, you wanted to see if Brett Young, what his credentials, if his credentials were here, you could mark his credentials and give it annotation so that you knew what that credential meant in the future. So kind of continuing here, let me show you what an annotation looks like. So all we do is, like in eHost, you click and drag over the word that you're trying to annotate. This window will pop open, and this window has the schema that you've already created displayed within it. And what you'll do is you'll select the item and click OK. And in this case, we have additional information that we need. And these are the attributes with associated values that it's asking for. Now, chart review also has the ability to do dates, numerical input with or without restrictions. It can also do an option list, which I'll show you in just a moment. Or you can just do a simple text into these fields. This field, for example, is just a simple date selector, and this field right here is a numerical selector. And I can set the range on what numerical values can go into the numerical table. Another example, if I annotate this, click on diagnosis here, this one is, say, we have the doctor's credentials associated with the diagnosis. This is an option list that we can create within the schema to be able to select what credentials that we're specifically looking for. After we are done here, let me show you another level. So right here, this is the patient's clinical visit, and I want to classify the medication or the plan up here. This classification button allows this plan option to now be associated with this document. So when the output or the report is generated, this annotation plan and whatever information that we give associated with it is now tied to the document level class instead of just text within that document. Likewise, to do a patient level annotation, this is a patient summary. So by classifying on the patient summary, we are now classifying that patient. This is how we separate the difference between doing a document versus doing a patient, is through the patient summary. To continue with this, after we're done with all the annotations that we want to do, we can easily review them all right here in this window. And once we're done, we can click Submit Next, and that will generate the next task as needed. or we can put a hold and put a comment in there, or save, or just end the process that we are currently doing. So that is chart review, and that is eHost. Please, if you guys have any questions, don't hesitate to put them in the question box, and I'd be more than happy to help answer any additional questions with this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We actually don't have any pending questions right now, so I'll give everyone just a few moments to type in their questions.
Okay, and then I can finish with the presentation.
Perfect.
While everybody's typing questions. So we discussed the two tools that are available in Vinci. Again, they're not the only tools that are available out there, but these two are the ones that we use and support abstraction projects with. I would like to acknowledge the resources and facilities. We are in the Salt Lake City Veterans Affairs Healthcare System, and we're also affiliated with Department of Epidemiology of the University of Utah, and funding for our work is provided by Vinci. And also, if you're interested in conducting your own abstraction projects with us or without us, we would strongly recommend to do some reading on it. And here are some publications that can help you to figure out what exactly is needed, what needs to be done when you are preparing for a project like that. And that's all for today.
Fantastic. Thank you, Olga. We actually do have a few questions that have come in, so we can get started with those. The first question we have, we want to look at multiple variables and relationships between them. How do we run simultaneous annotations?
The question of annotations like that is a little confusing. You can relate to annotations in eHost. There is a way, and there is functionality to annotate part of a text and give it one meaning, and part of a text and give it a different meaning, and then link them. So you can build a relationship. In chart review, there is no direct functionality to do it currently. However, it is there are several workarounds available, and if you are thinking about something specific for your needs, please contact us, and we can help you to figure out a way to do that.
Great, thank you. The next question I have here, what types of notes is this best for? Clinical encounter notes, operative or procedure reports, radiology?
Well, the beauty is that it's any note. Both eHost and Chart Review can handle any note. Chart Review handles better smaller documents like common fields, just because they're easier to pull from the database. Because all the data is in a database, Chart Review connects directly to the database, whereas for eHost, you would need to extract documents separately into as text files. But both tools can handle documents of any type, and there is no limit on the document type that you can work with.
In addition to that, each one of those items that you mentioned is a clinical element configuration. So if it's a pathology note or oncology note or whatever system that we're looking for, we can display multiple of those at the same time within Chart Review. eHost only has the ability to display one document at a time, where Chart Review can display as many as you can imagine at a time.
Great, thank you. The next question I have, what do your services cost? For example, if we needed help getting started with either of the tools but wanted to do most of the annotation ourselves.
Great. We're a great question. We're part of Vinci Services, So educating you on how to use the tools is part of Vinci Services, so there is no cost at all. If you are looking to get some help from us in developing the guideline, or if you would like to use annotators that we have on staff, then we would need to discuss the specifics of your project and determine the complexity of your project, and we would be able to evaluate it at that time. But any training, education, that's part of Vinci Services, and we provide it with no additional cost.
In addition to that, just a little plug for our annotation team here. We have a range of annotators. We've worked with physicians. We currently employ a few PAs. We have a slew of nurses, and we have a physical therapist and pharmacist and just about anything you can imagine for the different projects that we've needed. We keep them on staff, and they work on a as-needed basis with our team. I recognize with this question that they would definitely want to do, it sounds like they want to do annotation by themselves, but if our services can be utilized to help facilitate these projects, we are happy to oblige.
Great, thank you. The next question I have here, can chart review highlight keywords for annotators?
Yes, pre-annotation is possible. There's functionality for that. You can deploy natural language processing pipeline, depending on how complex. It may be very simple, or it may be a full pipeline that you run through the notes first, so the documents are pre-annotated for the annotators to work with.
In addition to that, chart review is set up to do multiple phases. So if we're running through a project and we want to capture one piece of information, say, for instance, we want to identify all the note types before we move to actually annotating text within a document, chart review is set up to do multiple stage processes, where after they've completed one stage, they can move to the next stage, and all of that information carries with it to that next phase. So Olga was describing how we can pre-annotate and have a system do all of the marking up of the documents before the annotator gets it. What I'm describing is that we can have multiple stages of annotation where an annotator's information is brought into the second stage of the process to be reviewed by an additional or another annotator or by the same annotator.
Great, thank you. The next question here, running these extraction tools on Vinci must use significant computing power. Is there allocated time that running these tools is preferred?
Actually, no. These tools are very lightweight, and there's no limit on specific time periods. No, you just chart review is browser-based. You can just open your Firefox browser and work through them. That's it. eHost is actually very small. So short answer is no. There's no limit.
Great, thank you. The next question, how do we set up working with your annotators?
You contact us through the emails that here on the screen. So you just email to one of these email addresses, Vinci Services, describe your needs, and it will be forwarded to us, triaged, and we will contact you back, determine who exactly, what are the qualifications of the annotators that you need, and go from there.
Fantastic. The next question here, is it true that negation annotations are easier to run? For instance, no stroke.
Easier than what? So that's it's not hard to run. Yes, we do have a module that can pre-annotate So that we're going into the area of natural language processing, I believe, I guess, with this question. We do have a context annotation module that can be used. The specifics of what exactly is needed will need to be discussed probably off at a different time, offline. But yes, we can do it. Negation is something that we do quite frequently.
Olga's team is, we can definitely write it into the schema, but we found that there's two different methods to really achieve this, usually by leaving it absent or not annotated. Sometimes can be strong enough evidence to show that, or that to eliminate the negation part of it. We have had plenty of projects where the sponsors have asked us to capture the assertion, whether it's present or whether it's not present, or whether it's positive or whether it's negative. All of those are possibilities within our team. And as Olga alluded to, it's all related to what your project requirements are. However, Olga's side of this with natural language processing, she's done this many times and is very proficient at it.
Great, thank you. Looks like this is our last pending question here. Oh, we got another one in. Can chart review calculate IAA inter-annotator agreement after the annotation is done?
So the answer to this is yes. Currently, we're using a FLICE Kappa score to calculate this, and it is a report that is generated at the end of it. We use the FLICE Kappa mainly because chart review has the ability to do more than comparison of two annotators. So it can compare as many annotators as needed, two or more. This is something that we are working on to make the report a little bit more user-friendly. We currently have programmers working on this to allow you to select whether or not there's overlap allowed, whether or not they're exact according to attribute or class. There's a lot of contingencies that go into calculating an inter-annotator agreement or an IRR as well. And the tool currently right now is an exact match, so everything has to relate, span, and all the levels of annotation. But we are working on creating a report within the tool that allows you to customize that report and to select how exact spans that, or how exact you are looking for the inter-annotator agreement to exist.
And while the tool does not may not have all the possible formulas to calculate that, the annotations are outputted in the database, and that way you can also work with the data directly through the database and do comparison directly from the database, even if the tool does not have everything. So there's workarounds for everything that you need. Currently, we make eHosts available. I mean, you can just download it off the internet if you Google it. The code is there. However, chart review is currently still a project in a beta level of testing in that stage. Therefore, it's not publicly available, but if you are interested in using it, just contact us.
In addition, one more item talking about this. Thank you for the question, by the way. It brings up the output, additional item to the output. Not only does it write to a database, but within the report window, we can export a report annotator by or annotations by annotator detailed report to a CSV file. It's something that's built into the tool.
Thank you very much for the questions.
Great, thank you. One last question here, and then we'll start closing things out. Can we use your annotators and our own? One of our goals is to develop an ontology which will require review by multiple people.
Yes.
Again, we try to be as flexible as possible in the world of annotation. So please bring any requirements and anything that you need to the table, and we'd be happy to discuss it and see what we can do, including using our annotation service to help facilitate your project.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Just a second. Okay. Olga, Dan, I really want to thank both of you so much for your time putting together and presenting for today. Before we close out, I want to let our audience know that we are going to try having some extended and ongoing dialogue on our cyber seminars out on our VA Pulse site. If you have a va.gov email address, you have access to that. I have the link on your screen to the HSR&D cyber seminar site, where we'll have more cyber seminar discussion, and to the Vinci site, where there will be a lot more Vinci information available out there. Please join one or the other. There should be great information out at both of those. And I want to thank all of our attendees for joining us today. As I close the session out here, you will be prompted with a feedback form. If you could take a few moments to fill that out, we do appreciate it. We really do read through all of your feedback. It helps us plan our ongoing and upcoming sessions. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for today's HSR&D Cyber Seminar, and we look forward to seeing you at a future session. Thank you.